All right. Well, good morning. If I hadn't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so glad that you're here to worship Jesus with us. It's our passion that you would recognize God's presence and His power in a way that helps transform your life, not only today, but here, and helps you push you to a deeper faith in your faith journey. We're in this message series called Jesus and We, and we're talking about how we are called as disciples of Jesus to partner with Him in the mission that He has called us to. And what does that look like? And that's what we're talking about, what God is calling us to do and to help build His kingdom. I got a couple pictures to show you. One thing that you might not know about me is that I like to fish. And so here's proof of that. Right there, look at that. Aren't those awesome? Hey, those are not photoshopped. I guarantee you that. I have proof. Talk to my wife. Ask Joel. Joel, if anybody would photoshop that, it would be Joel. But those are real fish that I caught myself. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, wow, Pastor Doug, you're a pretty good fisherman. Not at all. Let me be honest with you. The only reason I was able to catch fish like that is because of the people that I went with. They had the right equipment for me to use. They had the boat. They had the right time, the right place. All I had to do was get in the boat with them, go to the place where they were going to go and fish, and cast my line in just like they were, and catch fish. And that's what I did. So I'm not really that great of a fisherman. I just enjoy fishing. Honestly, I'm a fair-weather fisherman, right? If it's not sunny and 80 degrees, I really don't like to fish. If it's cold and rainy, who wants to fish when it's cold and rainy? Somebody said that that's when you catch fish. I don't believe them. I'm a fair-weather fisherman. I like to fish when it's nice outside. You know, the really thing about my faith in following Jesus is sometimes in my own faith I recognize that I can be a fair-weather Christian. I can be a really good Christian when the conditions are right, when I don't have to really do anything out of the ordinary. And to be honest with you, one of those things that is out of the ordinary is sharing my faith. That's right. Even as a pastor, one of the hardest things for me to do is to share my faith with people that I don't know or in a public place. It's really difficult. I know that based on my conversations with a lot of people, a lot of us in this room are in the same boat, aren't we? That's a scary thing to do, and rightfully so. But Jesus comes to the disciples, and He teaches them about fishing, taking a risk to help build the kingdom of God, and He uses their knowledge for fishing to kind of make the connection to the mission of catching people for His kingdom. The story is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Listen to this story. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on Him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in another boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to even be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others who were with them. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So our story begins with a bad night of fishing. And there's nothing worse than talking to somebody who's been out fishing all night long to hear them say they haven't caught a thing. Right? That's horrible. The disciples are doing the mundane task of washing their nets to preserve them. And as they wash their nets, Jesus approaches and he wants to teach people from the boat. So he asks Simon Peter if he can borrow his boat, and he pushes it out into shallow water. Imagine Peter and his fishermen friends while they're washing their nets, maybe listening to Jesus teach the crowds who have gathered to hear him. Maybe they heard some things about faith and spiritual life. Then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "It's time to go deep. Put your boat out into deeper water and cast out the nets again." And Peter's like, "Oh, come on. I just got done cleaning them. You know, we were out all night long, didn't catch a thing. Now you're asking us to do this again?" Right? Here's the hard part about this story, right? Peter and the disciples are fishermen. They know how to fish. And here is this rabbi, this preacher, who tells them, "Hey, if you just go over there to the deeper water and cast your net over there, you'll catch some fish." Right? The disciples are thinking, "Man, I don't really feel like doing this. This is so difficult. Why should we do that?" If you think about it, it would be like me showing up at your workplace and telling you how to do your job. Right? You'd be like, "Hey, preacher, get out of here. What do you know? What do you know about my job?" But the disciples, really, they're struggling with this. They might be thinking to themselves, if we go out there, if we listen to this rabbi, and we go out there and we don't catch anything, we could look really stupid. We could look really stupid. Why should we do this? And on top of that, we just got done cleaning everything. Now we're going to go out there and make it dirty again. It's going to make more work for us. Man, I don't know. But Peter listens. He takes the risk, and he's rewarded with the experience of this incredible miracle. More fish than they ever could have imagined. They had to call over another boat, and they filled both boats with fish. It was obvious to Peter that it was beyond anything that they could do. It was Jesus. It was a miracle. What an experience. Think about it from this perspective. Peter was challenged in his faith. He was standing on the shore. Jesus asked him to push out into shallow water. And then he asked him to go deeper. A lot of risk. A lot of faith. Where are we at in our faith? Where are you at in your faith journey? Especially when it comes to listening to God and maybe even being obedient to sharing your faith with someone else. If you're like me, maybe you're standing on the shore because it's safe there. Not very risky. And even the shallow water, I mean, I could do that, right? But Jesus challenges Peter and he challenges us as his disciples to push out into deeper water, to go deeper, to become fishers of people. So today I want to share some simple steps that you can take to be more missional. Our call as disciples is to be on the mission that Jesus has called us to help build his kingdom. And part of that means sharing our faith with other people. What does that look like? How do we do that? Today, if you're following along on your outline, I want to share some simple steps. Some very non-confrontational kind of steps that we can take. Here's the first one. The first step to living as a disciple on a mission is to be willing to leave our nets. Think about it. For Peter and the disciples, the nets were everything. This symbolized their identity and who they are as fishermen. They were the very things that they used to provide income for their family. It was their security. It was everything that life meant for them. So what did they have to do? In order to follow Jesus, they had to let go of their nets. So how were they able to do that? How were they able to let go of their nets? Well, the first thing is because of their obedience. Simple obedience to Jesus. Don't know why. There's no rationality behind listening to Jesus as the, you know, rabbi telling them how to fish. But Luke 5 verse 5 says, "But because you say so, we will let down our nets." They were obedient to Jesus even when it made absolutely no sense. Sometimes God calls us to do things that don't really make too much sense in reaching people. But if we're obedient, if we listen to what He's telling us to do, we too will experience how God works in the lives of other people. The other thing is they made it a priority. In verse 11 it says, they left everything to follow Him. Everything. Now think about James and John and their parents, their family business. Dad is standing there by the boat and they walk away. They walk away from the family. They walk away from the family business to follow Jesus. They left everything to follow Him. Now, for some of you, God might be calling you to do that. But for most of us, He's not calling us to leave everything and go to be a missionary in a foreign country. But God is calling every one of us to be on the mission of sharing our faith as disciples. So what does that look like? What do? Well, they show faith and trust in Jesus. They gave up their security, their comfortable life, in order to do what He called them to do. It takes incredible trust and faith in who Jesus is in order to do that. What are the things in our lives that we put the most trust in? Is our safety and security in our job? What are the nets that we cling to in our life that hold us comfortable and keep us secure? What are those things that we need to let go of in order to trust in Jesus and His call in our life? Following Jesus on our mission of making disciples requires that we make Him our Lord. Did you see the progression that Peter made? First, Jesus was master, right? Okay, master, if you say so, we'll do this. And then after the big miracle, the big catch, Peter looks at Him and says, Lord. He calls Him Lord. Lord has this CEO, president of my life kind of title. It's whatever you say, I will do. And that's what God is calling us to do, to make Him Lord in order to let go of our nets, to follow Him. You know, one of the biggest obstacles we face in our mission is fear. Now, as I read this story this week, I was really kind of shocked by Jesus' first words in His response. He says to Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching fish. You're fishing for people. Don't be afraid. I find it kind of interesting that Jesus would choose those few little words before He tells them about fishing for people. It's almost like Jesus knew that there would be fear, that fear would be the biggest obstacle that keeps us from sharing our faith. I know that is for me. And most of the people that I talk to, that's the same thing. We're afraid. But Jesus proves to the disciples that He is sovereignly in control even of the fish. I mean, if Jesus is in sovereign control of the fish, obviously, He could be sovereignly in control of all people, especially us, as the disciples that He's calling to go and reach people for Him. So wouldn't it really kind of make sense in our minds that we shouldn't be afraid? Doesn't the sovereignty and the power of God, doesn't God's control over all things really work to keep fear away from our hearts and our minds? It ought to. It ought to change the way we think about sharing our faith. Because God doesn't call us to go and share our faith and plant the seeds and water it and make it grow. All He does is He wants us to be His servants. He wants to partner with us in this process. You see, the results are up to Him. All He does is ask you to take the step, to be obedient, to trust Him, and let Him do the work. Yeah, it's pretty risky. It's pretty scary. But how incredible is it that He promises that He will be in the boat with us, and He will help us to catch people, to make a difference in the lives of people. You see, the whole purpose, I believe, of this story, this experience that Jesus challenges the disciples with, is to show them and us that if we simply trust and obey, Jesus will take care of everything else. That's the first step. Here's the second step to living as a disciple on a mission. Develop missional habits. Develop missional habits. See, one of the reasons we are afraid to share our faith is because we haven't really trained ourselves. We haven't really developed the habits of sharing our faith in our life. So this morning I want to share five simple habits that you can take in your life, make in your life, to help you be more missional. And I got these from an article by Michael Frost, and it's free. I found it free online, and I have permission to reprint it. So if you're interested in that article, got a bunch of them back at the information table. It's really, really good stuff. But just to kind of summarize them, here they are. The first one is to bless people. Bless people. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's even fun. So the challenge here is for us to develop the missional habit of blessing people by challenging us to bless three people during the week. Two people from church and maybe one person who's not a believer or somebody who's not connected to the church. Blessing is a biblical idea. It's the idea of providing us with strength and encouragement that we need to be filled with the wholeness and happiness in Christ. You see, God blesses us, and He asks us to be a blessing. Matter of fact, that's exactly what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. He says, I long to visit you. Why? So I can share a spiritual blessing with you that will help you to go strong in the Lord. I'm eager to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to the other. So how do we bless people? You share words of encouragement to them. You write them an email, a note, maybe verbally, send them a text. In some way, be a blessing to three other people during the week. Random acts of kindness. Do something for them. Provide practical assistance for them. Or maybe even just give them a small gift. See, here's how it works. When we make blessing other people a priority, when we really have to think about it, it takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it onto other people. You see how that works? Blessing other people shows them we really care. It impacts their openness to your friendship and potentially even the gospel. Think about this. If you're afraid to share the gospel, it's much easier to think about just blessing other people. Get in the habit of blessing people. Here's the second missional habit. This is one that I know everyone will like. It's to eat. Anyone not like to eat? Is there anybody that goes without eating for extended periods of time? No, we all eat, right? So the challenge here is to share a meal with three people that you don't know or people that you don't normally spend time with. Again, sharing a meal with somebody in your community, maybe someone at work, someone who's disconnected from the church and from Jesus, and be intentional about it. Schedule lunch with them. Again, that's a very non-threatening way to make a connection with someone. No strings attached. All you got to do is have a meal with them. Find out more about them. Share stories about life. See, sharing in meals together was a central practice in the early church. It promoted fellowship, and it led to deeper friendships and community. In Romans 12, again, Paul says this, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or, if they need lodging, for the night. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. So again, there you go. There's an easy missional habit that you can do throughout your week. To try to eat with three people who are disconnected from the church or somebody that you want to get to know better. Here's the third habit. Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The challenge here is to spend extended period of time once a week just listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. Just listening to Him. Get into a room or somewhere where you can have quiet time and just listen to what God has to say to you. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18, let the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. Listen, we have to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to make a difference in our world, in our community. One of the things that just drives me crazy is when my phone goes dead. Can you relate with that? Like, there's nothing worse when you're out somewhere and your phone dies and you have no way of recharging it. Right? I get really crabby when that happens. Right? Because it kind of shuts down my life. I'm way too attached to my phone. And probably you are too. But here's the thing. When our phone dies, we feel helpless. Right? And what do? We look for somewhere to plug it back in, to get it charged. Man, our spiritual lives are a lot like that. If we let our spiritual batteries die, we ought to feel helpless. If we really want to stay plugged into the power of the Spirit, we need to take time out, regular time out during the week, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will not only change your character and change your life, the Spirit will communicate with you. God will tell you the people that you need to have lunch with. God will direct you to and the conversations that you're having with these people. And unless you are filled with the Spirit, unless you are connected with the Holy Spirit, it's just a meal. It's just a meal. Be filled with the Spirit. Develop the habit of plugging into the power of the Spirit. Here's the fourth missional habit. Learn. Learn from God's Word. Let me ask you this difficult question. How hard would it be for you to introduce me to somebody that you don't even know? That'd be awkward, wouldn't it? Trying to introduce me to somebody you don't even know. Maybe you don't even know their name. That'd be really awkward, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot easier to introduce me to one of your best friends. Somebody that you know really well, right? That wouldn't be hard at all. It wouldn't be scary. It'd be kind of fun. Think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. How often are we afraid to share with other people about our friendship with Jesus? See, the bottom line is, I thought about this week. I thought, you know what? If I'm afraid to share with other people about Jesus, then I must not really be close enough to Jesus to really know much about Him to share about Him with other people. We're afraid. The best way to know and to interact with God is through His Word. We begin to develop a missional mindset when we regularly marinate our minds in the Word of God. We cannot get to know Jesus without reading His Word. One of the reasons we're afraid to share about Jesus is because we don't really know Him, because we haven't spent time really reading God's Word. You want to take the fear away from sharing the good news? Get to know Jesus. Spend time in the Bible, reading His Word. Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 3, 16, he says, let the words of Christ, in all their richness, live in your hearts and make you wise. Use His words to teach and to counsel each other. And Paul told the Corinthian church too, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. How can he say that? That's crazy. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Would you be able to say that to someone? Imitate me as I imitate Christ? Well, the reason he can do that is because he had a friendship, a relationship with Jesus. The fifth missional habit is that we are sent. We are sent to share. This missional habit is about engaging in a spiritual conversation with other people. That's our responsibility. We are sent to represent and proclaim Jesus to the world. And we should always be ready to share it with other people. That's what Peter says. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, I never really noticed this before, but did you see how this happens? Who initiates the conversation? It's not us. It's someone else. Someone else who comes up to us and asks us, hey, could you tell me, like, what's going on in your life? Why are you always so happy? Why are you always so joyful? What is it about you that's different from everyone else? There's just something about you. When's the last time someone asked you that? And then, when they ask you that question, are we ready to share with them why? What is it about our life? Peter challenges us to be ready to engage in sharing our faith when the opportunity arises. As Christians, we're called to live questionable lives, lives that cause people to ask us the question about our faith. If you think about it, in this scenario, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're being filled with the Spirit, if we're reading God's Word on a regular basis, this ought to come naturally. It shouldn't be a scary thing. Those are the five habits, and I want to challenge you. Come up with some way for you to start those habits in your life. And here's why. Current statistics show that over 70% of our population is disconnected from Jesus and the church. In the North Scott area, just in Eldridge, Parkview, and Long Grove, that's about 6,000 people. All of them, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, the people that you play sports with, the families that you already hang around with, 70% of them are not connected to Jesus or the church. God calls us to be disciples who help them connect into the life of the church, to connect into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission as disciples is to partner with Jesus. A lot of us who consider ourselves to be believers and disciples of Jesus are standing on the shore, standing there with Peter. And again, I'm not condemning you. I'm right there with you. A lot of times I'm standing on the shore. And Jesus challenges us and says it's time to go deeper. It's time to let go of our nets. It's time to trust in Him and obey Him and become fishers of men. Back to my fishing experience. I'll never forget my experience catching those big fish. Man, I could, in my mind, I can get back there in a second. I remember how exciting it was, how thrilling it was. You want to know something? There is nothing more exciting than impacting another life for eternity. Way more exciting than catching big fish. Jesus shared that experience with the disciples that day. When they trusted Him, when they obeyed Him, when they went deeper, they experienced something that they would, a miracle. My challenge for you today is to take that step. Start developing missional habits so that you can maybe take a step into the shallow water and eventually go deeper in your faith so that we too can have an impact in the lives of the people that we're around every single day. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so easy to talk about. It's just so easy to understand what You want us to do, and yet it's incredibly hard. Lord, we're so busy and we're so focused on ourselves that sometimes this, it just is not a priority in our lives. We confess that to You. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to take a step of faith, to grow missional habits in our lives so that we can be obedient, so that we can trust You in growing our faith and reaching people for You. Lord, help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.